Thank you, everyone, for listening. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene, because we are unstable people. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today, we have a very awesome special guest. So excited to have her. The very amazing Brie LaRose.
Oh my gosh. Yay! Hello.
How are you, Brie?
I'm having a great day. You made me gluten-free muffin-y things.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They're like cookie muffin brownies that, I don't know, they're just...
They look like flying saucers. They taste like heaven.
They taste good, and that's all that's important.
Mm-hmm. Are you gluten-free as well?
What's that?
Are you gluten-free as well?
She isn't.
No, I love gluten.
She loves gluten, okay. But I made them gluten-free because of my own issues with gluten.
So. We found a common ground.
Yeah.
They're chocolatey. They're chocolatey.
I can't see your face.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to move something on the. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, all right. There you go. Yay. All right.
Yay.
So we usually start off by asking our guests, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls shaped your life in any way, or not shaped, dismantled in any way?
Okay. I love the
Golden Girls destroyed you?
A Dorothy.
Yeah,
because I'm 6 feet tall and I'm a little burly, so it made me feel good as a tall girl to see her stomping around on my TV. They're just funny ladies. I would watch it with my grandma, of course. We would play Looney Tunes Bingo and eat cookie dough and watch the Golden Girls.
Looney Tunes Bingo,
yes.
Like you bought it.
It was the bingo boards with the Looney Tunes characters on them.
That's so cute.
It's adorable.
Aww.
Great.
And then I haven't watched in a long time, and then a logo started playing it nonstop, and I got back on the wagon. And it feels good.
Oh, great. Do they play it late at night? That's the best time.
Yes, they do. They also play it early in the morning and all the other times. So it's like whenever you need it.
Every other show is Golden Girls.
Yep, pretty much. Like, we did our 1 hour of programming, back to the Golden Girls.
Nice. And so we watched, I believe it's episode 18 from season 4. It is titled Fiddler on the Ropes. The originator, they did not write it down. It's okay. I think we'll all live. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve, would you like to give us a brief synopsis of what we watched for the listener who was not here?
I sure will. Basically, the ladies are trying to make an investment, and they want to buy a CD from the bank to invest in something safe. But they put that in the hands of Sophia, who buys a prize fighter.
Normal.
Yes.
As yes. usually happens when you try to make an yeah. investment.
Like you do. So she buys a prize fighter, but it turns out that he's also a violinist.
Yeah.
Again, not a
trying
normal.
To apply
yeah. Not a fiddler. For... Violinist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, what is the B plot on this? Is that just all that
there was no,
Blanche?
No B
the B plot that it was that Blanche hated her work.
Yeah,
was that the very end? Talk about that
never
again.
Never again. That was it was mentioned yeah. once at the very beginning.
That's weird.
Yeah,
why did they do that?
I have no idea.
Maybe helping the prize fighter gave her confidence, so we're left to imply that when she goes back to the museum, she doesn't feel anxious about whether or not she's good at it.
Yeah, yeah. I think she sort of like began talking about retirement after that. She's like, I just want to retire. And then they were like, and then I started this. Did you finish the synopsis? I'm sorry. That was
oh yeah, I was trying to remember if there was a B plot, and you affirmed
okay.
that
we right. made one up.
We made one up.
One comment,
hey,
and that's
let me
it.
Try to connect to the Wi-Fi here for a second.
Okay.
One second. I will edit this out. Maybe, maybe not. I might forget. Fart poop butt is the Wi-Fi.
Easy to remember.
Mad.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I probably shouldn't say the name.
Yeah, say the password. give everyone your address and zip code. times that you're in the apartment. Yeah. When you feel vulnerable.
Back in business.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right, so Blant, okay, so that's how they sort of start talking about finances. And when people start talking about finances, I sort of tune out.
Yeah, me too.
So I was like, what are they, what, okay, we had a question. We didn't know what a CD was. I mean, we know
like
what
in this context.
Like in this context.
I just bought a Tina Turner CD at Amoeba before I came here, and I know what that is.
Oh my God!
But I don't That's know what great. This CD is.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you everything I know about a CD, which is basically, it stands for Certificate of Deposit.
Oh.
And it's basically like a high interest like banking account, like checking account or like a savings account, stuff like that. So it's kind of like, it's a safe investment. Like if you have some money you want to stock away and make a, you know, money on it, it's a good thing to do.
Okay.
It's the opposite of buying a prize fighter is the point.
Okay. So they all went in with a $3,000 CD. That was what their goal was.
Yeah. Yeah. They were trying to find like,
and then,
yeah, because, yeah.
And wouldn't all of them have to be there to sign this? They're just, I don't know. Sophia sort of goes by herself. That was kind of odd in general.
Well, it was supposed to be Rose, wasn't it, that was supposed to go?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
That's like, a terrible idea. Like, yeah. Of all of the... They're mad that Rose let Sophia do it. Like, what would have happened if Rose had done it?
Yeah, she probably would have bought a cow or something.
Yeah.
Like a $3,000 cow. Or magic beans, as they said on the episode.
Yeah, I think this is all on them. Like, honestly, this is what happens.
They
would have to go to the bank and
make up a plan and put Rose in charge of it, and then they go on this crazy adventure. So Sophia comes in and she bought a man. It wasn't like she bought like a
She entered the slave trade in a way.
It was a slave trade.
Yeah, in a way.
It was like, here's $3,000 to some rando. And
who she says she met at a bus stop, right?
Right. So I guess she must have been like walking around like, I got $3,000. Or she saw like a street fight. Or she, I don't understand. Right? Like,
I really don't know.
So
yeah,
then,
I think
none
this is all
do.
Very
Genevieve,
likely things to happen in Miami. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's
we don't
true.
Know what it's like down there.
Yeah, I've never been walking down the streets of Miami or taking the bus down there. And so she buys a dude, which I guess is a thing. This dude belongs
to... That's how boxing
her.
Works. They just hang out at bus stops and wait for old women to pay them.
Yeah, they don't have homes. They just...
She bought a prostitute.
Yeah.
She didn't get any sex.
We don't know that, too.
That's true.
Like, there could have been training, you know, in other ways. Like, pound my
I think
pussy
if this
training.
If this episode would have been a little bit longer, there would have been, yeah, there would have been sex involved. That's how much you wanted to get into Juilliard. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so this dude, okay, so she calls in Pepe, and he's like this, he's a Cuban adult male who seems to be pushing 40 in my right.
Yeah.
Which
he looked like a sad divorced dad. He really did. He was wearing like sad single sweatpants, so you could just see him sitting at home in his like bachelor pad.
Yeah, like you could like one of those dads that were really hot when they were younger.
Yeah,
you know. Genevieve, did you think he was hot?
I thought he I think he had kind of a wiry quality to him. Like he had some
like a little Goldblum vibe going on.
Yeah. No, like too short.
Yeah,
too
yeah.
short.
Thick
but,
hair,
but
thick hair mullet.
He was a little he was a little spark plug.
Did we think he was Hispanic, or did we think he was a white guy?
I thought he was an Italian.
Italian.
That's what I said.
You said Italian. I said Greek. He definitely had a nose. And so I was like, Fiddler on the Roof. Anybody?
That's Polish.
Three levels of meaning to the title.
Was Fiddler on the Roof Polish?
Yeah, that's Polish. That's like that's like Polish or like Russia or something like that. That's like Eastern European.
Right. Okay, and so here's what's happening in the scene. From what I got was that if Pepe loses, they make $7,000 either way. Am I wrong?
If he loses, they make more money.
Oh,
they make more if he loses?
I thought if he won, he got $10,000. They got $10,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is how much I paid attention to this.
No, the plot was so complicated.
This is not your fault. It's not any of her faults because once money starts happening, it's like, what is happening? Yeah. And then to add this crazy plot to it, it just doesn't help.
Mm-mm.
And so
for me, like, I didn't piece out on the money. I pieced out on the boxing. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck about boxing. So
right. I don't either. Mm-mm. And I'm glad there was very little of it. And so he would get 20%. That's $2,000. And that's how much he needs to go to Juilliard. okay. Is that the math? Back then, that's not how much Juilliard costs.
There's no way Juilliard costs $2,000.
No, that's that's not at all what Juilliard costs. Like, you couldn't even actually travel to Juilliard from Miami to New York City for less than $2,000.
$2,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can't even get an apartment with that much. I mean, that would be like your deposit and your rent. I think at that time. And then
even
that's
back
it.
Then, it was,
okay, so then the next scene, like, Sophia's training him, and she has these oven mittens on, and he's punching her hands. And I was like, that would kill her. This would literally kill this woman, this, like,
she's
giant.
Fragile.
She's tiny. And, and, like, the guy was, like, fake punching her, obviously. Like, that's
and
not
everyone was just sitting around. The weirdest thing is that everyone just went with it. They protested for like 5 seconds and they were like, take him back. Haha, wouldn't that be funny? Guess we're doing this. And then they all just were like reading magazines casually.
Yeah.
Well, a random Cuban from the bus stop punches your mother?
Wasn't he living
with
them?
And sleeps in your house. Like, that is. What's that?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, isn't he, like, living with them? Like, and they just were like, oh, okay, I guess he can live with us now.
Was he doing that to, like, keep up some sort of illusion? Because he has a dad or a grandpa, right?
Like, why can't he stay with them, you know? And also, a guy that's yelling, kill in your home. Like, kill, like, kill Gonzalez. I mean, he's not saying kill Dorothy. But he's got murder in his heart. I feel I would be so concerned to have that in my house.
Yes.
I mean, I would probably let him on me, you know, but that's about
You'd
it.
Offer him cookies and milk, as Blanche said.
Yes. What? Cookies and milk is what they were gonna give him because he is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He's
their like adorable little orphan baby that they've adopted.
Everyone is children or Santa Claus to the Golden Girls.
Or as we said, Blanche was just trying to fuck him.
Right. I think
oh,
she
yeah.
did.
I think she definitely was trying to fuck him. Yeah.
I think she wrote I think she did. I love the part where Dorothy stands up and starts like kind of dogging him, like jumping around, and I was like, she can take him.
She's light on her feet. I was impressed.
Yeah.
She's very graceful.
I think she boxes. She must have boxed.
Probably.
Yeah.
No.
They should have.
Dorothy talks about trying to find a cut man to train him. She should be his cut man.
She should. Yeah.
So like, a cut man.
That's her natural disposition.
Yep.
Is cut man.
Just go at somebody's face with a sharp blade.
So is a cut man the middleman, or
no?
What does
it's
he
like
do?
when you're in a fight and your face is swelling up, they need somebody to like cut the injury so that you like release the blood and the pus and stuff. Yeah, or like sew it up or put glue or something on it. I don't know. I've only seen movies.
Whoa,
this is complete. This is knowledge that I've gleaned like completely from the Rocky franchise.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
I thought it was somebody that would like cut the money, you know, like I don't know.
I think it's a literal cut.
No,
like it's a wound cutting.
Cut.
Yeah,
it's like Burgess Meredith in Rocky. It's his character where he just kind of keeps telling him that he's kind of worthless. It's kind of worthless to kind of keep him going and keep him hungry.
Rocky. I watched it maybe once when I was little.
When you were little.
I yeah. can't hear you. You're going out.
When you were, when you watched it when you were little.
When I was little.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Spanish, probably in Mexico. I don't think I knew English when I watched Rocky.
Or were you just pretending to
know little baby
English
voice
so that you could trick some old women?
I was tricking old women.
Because older women have stereotypes about boxers.
That was such a weird part. I know we're not there yet, but it was like, why would they not agree to have him if he didn't speak English?
I don't know.
That was so strange.
There were a lot of lessons in this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of moralizing.
And he was kind of like uppity with his acting. I was like, you're like too much right now.
Yeah, he memorized like one scene from Shakespeare maybe. And
yeah.
That's...
Let's be honest. He was not a good boxer, violinist, or actor. The only thing he did well in this episode was trick old ladies.
I think I felt like his best performance acting wise was pretending to be Mexican or Cuban.
Yeah.
Hi, Kirsten. Like that alone should have gotten him into Juilliard.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he played that up pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, so the next scene was, okay, so he took Sophia's bedroom. He let this man in her bedroom with all this jewelry. Not to stereotype that Cubans steal, but or Italian man pretending to be Cuban. But there's a strange man in a bedroom next to you. And so this is when Sophia tells a story of her and what's her name? Golda Meir?
Golda Meir.
Golda Meir,
Golda
yeah.
Golda Meir. Okay. So who is this person? I don't know.
She's the prime minister of Israel.
She was like when Israel first came out.
Okay.
When Israel got was hot on the scene.
Yes.
I think it was Golda.
Yeah, Israel
was trending.
Israel became a country in 1948, I think. And I think she was
like the 50s or the 60s. I don't know.
And she was Italian?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that she was, but
she lived
maybe?
In Italy and she moved to Baltimore. They went to the new world. Like,
no, I think the story was like I was gonna go to the new world with my friend, but she didn't like adventure, so I went alone. And now she's the prime minister of Israel.
Okay, all right. So she stayed and became the prime minister.
I don't think this is the true story of Golda Meir.
No,
like I don't know if we should pull up her Wikipedia page and cross check or what.
This is not. I'm sure. And then she married Oscar Meyer. The
hot dog guy.
The hot dog.
That
dude.
Is true.
Yes.
This is
no.
Damn it! I believed you like an old lady. You were
and
my,
I'm just a Cuban boxer.
You were my Oh man. Okay, and so the next scene before we go to the next scene, Blanche and Rose come in and he's missing.
Yeah, he's left in the middle of the night.
God forbid he leaves the house to go to the convenience store for something. Like, he's he can't leave this fucking house. And they own him. And so they go through his stuff in his room. And this is what I got from it. They found an address, and then they went there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just say yes.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They sniffed him out. I don't know. Like, they
didn't have any time to explain that in the show, because they were too busy giving speeches about Golda Meir and hot dogs.
Was there just like a slip of paper that just had the address and it just also said where I go at night?
And it said it in English.
Yeah.
So they go to this warehouse. They know which floor it is. It's open.
Yeah.
They can just waltz in. scary. Probably a bad part of Miami. And so they go up to whatever, and they discover that there's a man there playing piano, and he's playing the violin. And everyone is, like, in shock because he starts speaking English. And this is where, like, his moral story of, like, you guys fell for it, right? Like, you guys fell for that Cuban image of the stereotype, basically.
Yeah.
Made me very uncomfortable. There's just so much spinning around in this plot.
It's just confusing. That would be like if I were just walking down the street, like, naked, selling my body, and then a police officer pulled me over and were like, what were you doing? And I was like, well, men want it, so what am I not gonna try to sell my body? He's like, I had to do it because that's what you expected. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Like, if I got a job as a busser and I just spoke Spanish and pretended not to, you know, speak English because, like, this is what you wanted. Like, it's nuts. This guy's crazy.
He's unstable. They found a crazy drug addict at the bus stop and then went along for a ride.
Those weren't Juilliard people. No. They were just insane people that he found.
Yeah. Other crackhead friends. That lady's not even British.
She's Mexican.
Yeah. She just thinks that's what they want.
I'm white.
You expect me to be British.
I have to say, this made me really uncomfortable as a white person.
Oh, of course. It made me uncomfortable as a person.
Yeah. I was like, he kind of accuses them of being racist, and they're like, no, you showed up that way, and
you showed up that way. It. he sort of like shamed them a bit for just going along, accepting him.
He doesn't want to take the blame for lying to four elderly women.
He was gonna rob the fuck out of them. He was gonna
for sure
to go to Juilliard, and then they come in and they're like. Sophia says he's turning him into a sissy boy playing the violin. Like, I was like, this is 1989.
Yeah.
This is 19. The immigration part.
Oh, yeah, the immigration stuff. Yeah.
She, like, barked immigration at him.
Yeah.
And he, like, ran away.
Yeah, he ran away at that.
Yeah.
And then there was more gay stuff at the table, too. When she was saying that, Blanche broke up with her high school boyfriend, she turned him gay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was this dude that she was dating in high school, and he was gonna go to Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, yeah. I always want to say Notre Dame.
That's like the French version. Where is it? Indiana.
Yeah, we say Notre Dame.
Yeah, yes. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame.
Yes,
mm-hmm. The very Midwest.
Yep.
Sounding. Yeah, and like the guy. Okay, so. So she broke up with him because he gave her a glass ring, and then he dropped out of college and out of football and became gay, like turned gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was weird because they kept like calling people out for being like ignorant in various ways, but yeah. then it just felt awkward when they did it. I don't know. The show's a mix of like super ahead of its time and also very much of its time.
Yes. Yeah. Like the writers are probably like, oh, we're doing so good here. Like, you know, we're talking about Cubans.
Yeah.
In education.
We have an Italian guy playing a Cuban. What more do you want?
Say that one more time.
We have an Italian guy playing a Cuban. What more do you want?
Damn it, FaceTime.
It keeps freezing.
It's okay.
Oh, no.
It's okay. We will... The listener can hear this because you're recording on your end, so they get what you're saying.
We'll just listen to it after we hang up, and then we'll figure out all the things we couldn't hear during.
Can you hear everything we're saying?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, then it's my shitty ass phone. I should get a tablet maybe. Okay, so then there's this whole thing where like. The older guy who doesn't we don't know who he is. He's his piano trainer. I think they use the same actor for the towel man. I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It looked like it.
Yep.
But he's like, oh, he needs to. He can't fight. That's the thing. He can't fight because he's gonna break his hands, and then he won't play the violin anymore. And is that a thing that happens all the time? Like,
you know, I watched this episode with my husband who plays guitar professionally.
Yeah.
And he was like, as soon as he found out he played the violin and fought, he was like, no, that doesn't happen. That doesn't even work. You don't play a sport where you can easily break your hand, where you need your hand for music. So
yeah, like couldn't he paint houses to get money for Juilliard?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Why, of all the things you could choose, boxing?
Right. Yeah, that was really strange. Like he needed money now to go to Juilliard. Okay, and so he does this whole like acting. He like eases into this whole like Shakespearean thing, which we talked about, and so which comes back later, but this, so they decide, Sophia decides at the end of this scene that he's gonna fight, and that's it, and because he owns her,
she owns him,
it's a legal contract.
Yep.
but it's okay, get okay, so he bought. This is what I don't get. They bought him for $3,000. That means the boxer guy has $3,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he wins $10,000, he would only get 20%, which means he would only get $2,000 back. And they would get their $3,000 back. So he would only make $2,000 off of this fight, which is less than he has now. Am I confusing you? I'm sorry.
I think you're right. Such a weird... And then there was the whole thing about the entrance fee, too. Like, was what that was? Like, the purse is the entrance fee? Or what?
The purse is like an entrance fee. So it's like a sum of money to get you into the fight.
And was that the $3,000?
I don't know. This guy is not going to Juilliard for math. That's all I'm going to say. Did it freeze?
Yeah.
We're just blankly staring at the screen trying to pretend we heard what he said.
Say it one more time.
Okay.
Why does all it keep doing that right at the moment we need you?
The moment we need you.
Please explain math to us. We don't
say
know.
Math to us.
Okay. All I'm saying is, this guy is not going to Juilliard for math.
Okay, that's got it.
That was my joke. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to figure this out one day. Thank you for doing this. Okay, and so they're at the boxing scene, and it is the stage, low budget.
Oh, man.
No people in the background.
It was clearly like the office of the writer's room or something, and they just put black sheets up and then like one small piece of cardboard.
They couldn't have like three extras, even silhouettes of people. Yeah. Like there was not. It was just like
one row of people in the front. Nope.
Yeah, that was terrible. Genevieve, are you frozen?
No, okay. I just agree with you guys. That was really bad. Do better with your boxing sets.
Oh man. Okay. And so they're I guess anyone's allowed to run up there.
I look like it.
And give advice. Because they're like, hey, we want you to throw the fight. We couldn't tell you this before the fight, you know, even though you were sleeping in the room next to us, or like we had to do it in the middle of this, and then he throws the fight, he gets punched in the face and he's out. So yeah.
At least he protected his precious hands.
Yeah, so he can fiddle.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. And so,
and also for all we have to say too, for all the buildup of a boxing episode, there was not 10 seconds of boxing.
Yeah. The game already started before they gave him the advice.
Yeah.
Like they were late.
Yeah.
Like they
did you just call it a game?
Was it really? Yeah. They call it the game.
The boxing game. You really haven't seen Rocky in a long time.
I just call sports games.
It's just very cute. I just like that.
Yeah, you should see me at a archery. I'm like, look at this game.
Go Players.
Go Players. Yay. Oh man. And so yeah, and like oh man.
Because when the episode started, I was like, all right, well, this is a weird out of nowhere plot. Maybe they did it because it's fun to like think of Sophia as like a boxing trainer. That's like kind of fun.
But that's
not even what happened.
Yeah. She trains him for a hot minute.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It wasn't even a boxing story, really.
Yeah. It was about like it was about stereotypes and
it was about them losing money on a man.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yep.
And so then the next scene, he's auditioning for Juilliard. And it's at the abandoned warehouse.
A normal place to hold a Juilliard audition.
Yeah.
Just set up a folding table in an abandoned warehouse.
That's how Juilliard works. They just fly down to wherever you're at, three judges.
To audition one person.
Yeah.
Wherever he chooses.
Wherever
they'll go to him.
Empty warehouse with a piano.
Sold.
And so like, and the Golden Girls are there. They're allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
These women are. They're allowed entrance into anything because they own him. So they show the paperwork. Yeah. They're slave paperwork. That's mine.
Yep.
Let me in. Let me add in.
Don't talk to him. Address all your questions to me.
Oh man. And so he can't. Okay. So he can't. He holds the violin and he's like, I have one question for you guys. Do I play the violin? And I was like, what? And then you remember that you're auditioning for this.
Yeah.
And you remember that. And then you remember
that you're holding a violin.
Yeah. And then you pointed this out. He remembers the monologue.
Yeah, he remembers a 3-minute long Shakespearean monologue.
And then he doesn't even do it that good.
No.
The first time was not that good, but it was better. Because the first time he took his time. This one, he like fucking rushed it.
Yeah, he did.
Because the directors were like, all right, speed it up. This is the second time we hear this monologue, you know? Mm-hmm. He could have done a different monologue. If I was the writer in that, I would have chosen something new for the viewer.
Yep.
Anyway, but that's just me. I don't know. I'm not a TV writer, but I can pretend. And so these British Juilliard, because you know Juilliard people are all British.
Yep. Yeah,
they all have fancy British accents.
Anyone classy is British.
Yeah, I think they were uptight, so they had that uptight like kind of accent.
Yeah, and, like Frasier.
Because at first they were like, I'm sorry. You don't, like, we flew all the way down here. You won't be eligible for another year.
Which was also weird when they tried to, all the Golden Girls tried to play the race card.
Yeah.
Be like, it's because he's Cuban. Although, actually, in retrospect, I think they were trying to cue him of that, remind him of the monologue.
That's what
to do. But at first, I was like, what?
I know. Like, I thought they were going to be
stop
like,
doing the you guys hate Cuban people thing at every chance in this episode.
And maybe that's why they accepted him, because they were afraid that they were going to be called out for
maybe.
Being racist.
Maybe.
Like, you're like, oh, he kind of sucks, but we're going to be called out for being racist. Yeah. So clappity clap, clap, clap.
You're
best
in.
Best performance all week.
Yeah, I know. And I think they were like, yeah, we made it all the way down to Miami in this terrible warehouse. Like, we're going to have to let
warehouse.
This person
yeah.
in. Yeah, if he shows us some kind of talent. So, we're
and also,
have to
like,
him.
Why would they have the same people who auditioned for. So, it's just three people that audition for. That hold auditions for Juilliard for all the arts?
This is kind of like the Golden Year thing that's... where I don't know how accurate the portrayal is on this show.
Right. So like...
Yes.
So, yeah, it was just confusing.
No, that's not how academia works at all.
I think this was for...
I watched that with my husband, Jeff Libman. He goes, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
He's actually been on that panel at a university. And
right.
No.
Like, if some dude came in with a head wound and he's like, I can't remember.
That's right.
I can't remember. How do I play violin?
Yeah.
Like, well, I would not accept him into my school.
Those judges were like the America's Got Talent panel. They were like, you're in. We don't even have to debate.
Yeah, that was terrible. And then All Is Good. They got their $7,000. And so they can invest into a credit dispensary.
Certificate
what is it called?
Of deposit.
Deposit.
They're just going to buy like 7,000 Tina Turner CDs. That's what they should really do.
They're going to go to Amoeba.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, they wanted a microwave.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not catch
that. Yeah, they mentioned that, like, which is...
What's that?
That's like the saddest kitchen appliance to buy, to want.
But they needed thousands of dollars to buy a microwave.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, Genevieve, this is great.
Okay.
We'll figure this out. And Brie, this is amazing.
So
thank
fun.
You so much
thank
for
you
being
so
here.
Much. Such a delight. Thank you for the muffin brownie cookies. I love them.
Yay. And so this comes out on on the 13th of July. Where can people find you online, or what are you going to be up to around then? People can come see you, or
you can follow me on Twitter at Brie LaRose. B-R-I, there's no E. Ooh. And I'm going to be at Flappers Claremont the weekend of August 5th. Four shows. So
nice.
All of the people out in Claremont, you got four chances to see me.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yay. And Genevieve, where will you be after July, did I say 13th? 13th, yeah. And where can people
all
find
right.
you?
Well, July 19th, I am doing a comedy Snapchat at the House of Comedy. Mm-hmm. It's a show where we are shown random images and we have to make jokes off of them.
Yay!
Cool!
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So, that's either free or it's $50. I have no idea how much it costs to get in. So, yeah. Probably somewhere like 5 or 7. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Get a CD in the meantime, listeners, and earn some interest, and then it will be no problem.
If you've learned anything from this episode, learn to invest wisely.
Yes.
Invest in Tina Turner CDs.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Facebook. I think I'm Genevieve Rice, and I'm also Genevieve _ Rice on Snapchat, which I have used 3 times.
Yay.
And promptly forgot about. I'm on Instagram, which I forget about once a week, but I do use it occasionally, and I mostly post pictures of sea captains or raccoons.
So. Nice. Yay.
Yeah.
And I am at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. And on July 13th, I believe I'm booked on the Hooters show at Hollywood Boulevard.
That's amazing.
I know.
I'm going to come.
Yay. It's Stephen Hollerman's show, and it's actually a really fun show. People are eating wings, and unsuspectingly, they get comedy, and they stick around.
Nice.
They're into it, because there's no sports.
Yeah, and everybody's in a good mood, and they just can look at boobs and then half listen, and then they're happy.
Half listen.
Yeah.
Tits in, half listening.
Yep.
Yay.
Woohoo.
And along with our own individual Twitters, our podcast also has a Twitter, and is at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. Music is by Brian Kokernak and Mike Dennison. The next episode is season 4, episode 19, and I can't remember the name. Oh shit, it's right there. This is why you're here.
Yep,
this is why you're here. And it is titled Till Death Do We Volley.
Another sports show, it sounds like.
Oh,
they
no.
buy arm, a volleyball player.
There's arm wrestling. They buy a volleyball player.
Oh, man. We got to watch volleyball now.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay.
Bye.
Yay.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff a chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.